We will not see him again the rest of the night, but he said, yes, players are allowed to stay on the sidelines. They don't have to go back to the locker room.
Good clarification. Half first handoff of the second half goes to the right side. A flag down as Davey Jefferson carries it across the 30, close to the 35-yard line. He'll be just a yard short of the first down, depending on the penalty. I'm guessing a hold. And it is. So call that one back, which is good for the Silver Streaks after a big gain on first down.
Well, again, there's plenty of time to come back from this deficit, but the thing is, can we stop them?
Well, yeah.
I don't have much question that we might be able to get in the 30s in this game if we don't beat ourselves, but I'm just not sure, unless they stop themselves, which we talked about the whole first half, that's been their bugaboo here in the early part of the season. Penalties or turnovers is about the only thing that can stop the East Moline offense right now.
And as you pointed out, Jim, in the first half, the Streaks forced East Moline to punt only one time.
And that was after a 15-yard penalty that they basically knocked themselves out of the drive, too. So we haven't really stood up three consecutive plays and forced a turn or forced a punt here. And now UT, a 15-yard penalty. They're first and 25.
Rolling to the near side, Venegas has completed every pass he's thrown tonight. And there's another one, largely because of a terrific catch going up high. Tavian Johnson stretched himself out as high as he could and caught that one with the fingers at the 28-yard line. A little slow to get up, but they make back the yardage. And then a couple more even, as this one will be sitting at the 27-yard line. Heck of a catch.
Basketball staff probably all holding their breath because Tavian Johnson, one of their best basketball players. McDowell, also a guy we see on the basketball court. And two of their best athletes out here playing football.
188 yards passing now out of the quarterback spot for Gilbert Venegas. His handoff goes to the right side, and Simon's going to run for a while. He's into Galesburg territory. In fact, he's going to run all the way. Huge hole across the right side that freed him up to get to the outside. And just like that, there goes the Galesburg strategy. Instead of a quick turnover, how about a 74-yard touchdown run instead?
A completely blown assignment there somehow. I mean, he was, from the time he cut right, nobody was near him at all. I mean, we had one guy in the middle of the field who was giving chase, but I'm sure he could have run clear back to the high school before anybody caught up with him. He was so far ahead of everybody. Wow.
Cedric Washington's fast, but he's not that fast. So a 72-yard touchdown run. Panthers had only 64 yards rushing in the entire first half, and they more than double it on that touchdown run there. Second of the night by Simon. The handoff goes to the right side. They are now 5-for-5 on two-point conversions. It's 40-14, just over a minute into the second half.
Well, if we had any wind in our sails, that's pretty well extinguished after that long touchdown run. And again, you're just fighting such an uphill battle with this East Moline team that's up front just pushing us off the line on those conversions. And with the ability of their quarterback to run himself, to throw the ball, his receivers have been up to the task tonight. Other than a few penalties, they have not done much wrong. And it's conceivable they could end up with 55 or 60 points here if they want to tonight with the offensive weapons that they are showing us.
Two plays, 74 yards, and only a minute three off the clock. They have had scoring drives tonight. Of the five scoring drives, they've had two that were only one play. This one was only two plays. One play negated by a penalty, so could have been a three-play scoring drive. But boy, 40-14. Streaks seemed to have some momentum going when they cut the lead down to 24-14. We knew they still had a long way to go and a lot of work to do to get back into the game, but sure we're feeling a lot better about things at that time. But now, 40-14, and now here's a run back up the middle. Looks like Cedric might run for a while, but Washington stopped short of the 40 at the 38-yard line, which is where the Streaks will take over.
You mentioned a couple other interesting games going on in the Western Big Six tonight. Anytime Rock Island and Moline get together, that's always a great one. This time it's over Browning Field in Moline. I suspect the Maroons will win that game, but I wouldn't guarantee it. Vic Boblett's last game as Rock Island coach against rival Moline. And out.
They're 1-2, and Rocky's 3-1. That's a mighty bold prediction you're making there, Mr. Lee.
I know, but they're Moline. We never beat them, so nobody else should either.
Such a strong rivalry that was for years and years and years. And now Moline, now you got me saying it. Panthers jump off sides across the left side of the line. That'll be 5 for the Silver Streaks, only the third penalty of the night as the left tackle jumped into the neutral zone.
Ellen Alleman down at Quincy. Likely to win that, but playing at Quincy, who knows? Blue Devils are not a great team, but they're dangerous. They're decent.
Yep, 2-1 on the season. Don't think they've been really all that tested yet, but again, as you said, they've certainly had some success. 7-2 in the regular season the past couple of years. Their losses coming primarily in the Western Big Six. Anderson drops back. Hands off to Trevon Diggins, stumbles forward into UT territory at the 48-yard line. Picks up 8 on first down, and the Silver Streaks move the chains on 1st and 5. Nice to have that little 5-yard penalty to get this drive started.
And all you can do is, if you're an offensive player, just try and do your job and see if you can't get another 6 up on the board and then see if somehow the defense can't come up with a play. Something to get back in it, but at 40-14, you're kind of playing for pride at this point.
Out of the offset eye with Mixon, the up back, Diggins, the tailback. There's Anderson dropping back. Hands off to Diggins. He's fighting for everything he can get, just trying to keep on his feet as he's rolled down at midfield. Looks like he lost a yard.
And we've got a flag after the play. Somebody's going to get an unsportsmanlike penalty here. Might be number 34 for East Moline, which would be Garrett Tuttle.
Nope, we've got offsetting. Personal fouls each way.
Okay.
So that offsets the penalty. Did I not say at dinner in a game like this, it's gonna get a little rough sometimes. Two teams feeling like this is a great chance for both of them to win. I think I actually said late in the third quarter or on into the fourth quarter, but that's technically the third unsportsmanlike conduct we've seen in this game now. So 2nd and 11 now. Quick drop by Anderson. Steps to the left. Throws across the middle. Off the hands of Jake Innes. Falls incomplete. Lucky that defenders weren't closer to that one to be able to pick that one off. It'll be 3rd down upcoming.
Well, and you could tell that United Township was talking right out of the gate in this one. I mean, you don't expect a team that hasn't won 4 or 5 years in the conference to do a whole lot of talking, but they were. They came in with a lot of confidence into this, and I think just intimidated the Silver Streaks a little bit early. And even from the press box, you can see when guys are jawing down there a little bit, and these Panthers have had some attitude tonight, and it's paid off for them.
On long yardage, fake handoff on the misdirection. Trevon Diggins has some room to run on the 40, tries to split the D-backs, and he does! 20! He's got the touchdown, but there's a flag down back at the 46-yard line.
That'll be a shame if this has to come back, because that was a fantastic run by Trevon Diggins. Most guys would have easily gone down. He was surrounded, had two guys trying to drag him down at the 35, and he busted through them and went all the way. Please don't bring this one back.
Officials still talking down at the Panther 35. It's another personal foul against the Panthers, and it's a touchdown. A 50-yard touchdown run by Trevon Diggins, his longest of the season. And the Silver Streaks now trying to crawl back into this game, down 40-20. Just under 10 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Yeah, I'm glad for Diggins and the Streaks that did not get called back, because that was one of the best runs of the year, and he needs to be rewarded for that effort.
His second touchdown run of the night.
And now
Wait a minute.
What'd they do, change their mind?
Did they just...
It was a personal foul against the Streaks, but I think it would have been after the score, so they may move it back on the conversion attempt. Is that what we're looking at?
Well, Coach Tim Doherty's not happy on the sideline. He's 15 feet out on the field, but nobody's moving back. Will Anderson, standing within the vicinity of his coach way back at the 35-yard line, waiting to figure out what he's supposed to do. Am I going to go downfield? Am I going to run a two-point conversion? Or do I have to stay back here and run another play from scrimmage? It's coming back.
Wow. That's awful. How can How could the other official stand there and let him make that call and move everything down for a conversion and then go, oh. Yeah, that's not good.
That's as unhappy as I've seen Tim Doherty with the officiating in 3.5 games this season, and I can't blame him. You know, if it's the right call, that's one thing, but yeah, don't let it go on like all that. So, a 50-yard touchdown run and a tremendous run by Diggins negated. Playing inspired, I think, tonight after a death in the family this week. So Trevon is out there playing with a little extra motivation. He has 9 carries on 47 yards, but that one hurts, seeing that 50-yard touchdown run called back by a personal foul penalty against the Silver Streaks.
So after they have several conversations.
And the ball is still sitting at the original
yeah.
line of scrimmage.
They move it back, and now they're going to have to talk it over again.
Yeah, I mean it.
Oh, boy.
I'd be fine if they didn't move the ball back, but if there's a penalty, it's got to be. Yeah, now here they go. Trevon realizes what's going on. He's moving back.
He's probably just saying, well, that much more room for me to run the next time.
Don't get mad, get even, right?
And one of those officials over there just taking an earful on both sides from Coach Tim Doherty. And I think Jay's giving him plenty. I think Mark Reed's had a few words to say.
No.
Shocking as that is.
So the Silver Streaks now on 2nd and 26 from their own 36-yard line. Out of the I formation. Fake handoff. They give it to Trevon, and he goes nowhere. Panthers were waiting for it, and Marcus Murphy takes Diggins down as soon as he gets the handoff. A loss of 2 more. Back to the 33.
You know, it's interesting about this United Township team is they've got a lot of Smurfs out there, a number of guys, and the guy that just made the tackle is one of them, 5'6". Yeah, a lot of guys running 5'6", 5'7", out there, but they're all a stocky, strong 5'6", and 5'7", and it's the size of the fight in the player.
Hand off to the right side. Diggins tripped up, still on his feet, gets to the 40, spins off a tackle, and then run down by 2 more defenders at the 40-yard line, so he picks up a hard 7 there after losing 4 on the previous play, and now the Silver Streaks are in a punting situation at their own 40.
You know, what a turnaround.
Well, I guess.
Those United Township Panther offensive players just can't wait to get back out on the field because they're putting up some gaudy numbers in this one.
They're having a great time tonight, leading 40-14. Under 8.5 minutes to play in the third quarter. Snap to Tyler Brackett. No rushes on. Tyler gets the punt up into the air. Seems to hang there for a bit. Simon takes the tackle onto the run, blocks defended, then brings it back on the reverse to the near side. Up the sideline, escapes Brackett's tackle, escapes another tackle, and he returns it for the touchdown.
A shifty runner, a good runner, but one that should have been tackled on that play several times along the sideline, and the Silver Streaks coaching staff has just about seen it all now in this one.
Simon, as he did in the first half when he ran a punt back to the 3-yard line, tried to take it on the run, and as he moved to the right, he ran right into the initial defenders. But he had a couple of lead blockers, so he simply turned around, headed to the near side of the field, which had a lot more room to run, and the Streaks went for the corners but couldn't get it. Brackett went for a diving tackle. Another attempted dive to bring him down. Nobody could catch up to him. And it's a 63-yard punt return for a touchdown. And for the first time tonight, the Streaks stop a 2-point conversion. Jefferson is tripped up in the backfield and stopped short of the goal line. 8:01 to play third quarter. Panthers lead 46-14. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Ahead of lightning and a dark sky, farmer Jim Flock tried to finish his field work, but when an arm on his crop sprayer got tangled in an overhead power line, he suffered fatal electric burns as he stepped down from the cab.
Sometimes you forget to look up and make sure to see what is above you.
The Flock family wants you to learn how to avoid power line accidents and how to survive if equipment comes in contact with electrical lines. See their story and learn more at saveelectricity.org. Sponsored by the Energy Education Council.
Sir, stay with us, sir.
Doctor, is he going to be okay?
What happened to put him in this condition?
He went out to get the mail, opened the power bill, and then collapsed.
I've seen a lot of this lately. High power billitis.
When you suffer from high power bills, there's only one person who can save you. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Power bills that make you sick are indicative of a serious but curable condition. Call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
You sit with a towel wrapped around your wet hair, which you washed in freezing cold water, thinking of all the things you're missing. Hot showers, blow dryers, curling irons, flushing toilets, phone chargers, and Project Runway. Wasn't your last power outage experience brutal enough? With the Generac Automatic Standby Generator from Galesburg Electric, you'll never have to worry about losing power again. Electricity is automatically restored at the first sign of a power outage. Get peace of mind with a Generac Automatic Standby Generator from Galesburg Electric on South Henderson Street in Galesburg.
Involved with you and your community. Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Galesburg Silver Streaks have the ball at their own 40-yard line. 7:57 to go in the third quarter. Handoff up the middle to Diggins. Stopped, slowed down by the ankles, and then finally brought down short at the 45-yard line. Diggins picks up four on first down. Silver Streaks, after giving up a 63-yard punt return for a touchdown, now trail 46-14. We're not even halfway through the third quarter yet. And they're not playing Rock Island. They're not playing Geneseo. They're playing a United Township team that has lost 21 in a row in the Western Big Six Conference. Second and, we'll call it seven, out of the I formation. No wideouts left. Handoff goes up the middle. That one goes nowhere.
A pretty sheepish play there.
Silver Streaks just not showing a lot of variety in the offensive play calling to try to open things up. And it gives you an indication of how the coaching staff may feel about the offensive line's ability to block for a pass play. The receiving core could be any number of reasons why the Silver Streaks haven't rolled out a lot of offensive pass attempts tonight. Will Anderson only 1 of 5 for 9 yards. Third and 9 for the Silver Streaks. Swing pass to the near side right through the hands of Cedric Washington. And there was a defender there, and this is still a live ball as a scramble for it back at the 36-yard line. The official trying to blow the play dead, trying to get these players to back off. There's a flag down on the far side of the field. Looks like Washington did recover after the ball went through his hands up high. Was able to fall on it back at the 37-yard line. Let's see what the penalty is. It's going to go as a loss of about 5. Here's the referee's call. We've got another unsportsmanlike conduct
call. Up. We still got a quarter and a half to go yet.
Boy, this is just getting uglier and uglier.
Well, it's just such a kick to the confidence of this team, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, came out, we ran all over Chicago, Kelly, and, you know, we struggled with Morton. We scored first against them, then gave up a lot of points. But Morton's a really good football team. And, you know, I think held our heads pretty high. Last week, yeah, the first half wasn't good. Second half was real good. And, you know, we gave Peoria Central a battle for a stretch there. But this game is just, I don't know there's anything positive to take out of this one. Unless we can, well, no matter what we do from here on out, when you get back behind 46-14, you know, then there's question marks. Even if you do score a little bit, are you playing against the other team's best and on. So it'll be as much a mental battle this week getting this team ready for next Friday night as it will be a physical one, just trying to find some confidence.
Well, the Streaks have had an unsportsmanlike conduct. They've had a player ejected tonight. They've had a couple of other personal foul penalties that have been negated because of an offsetting penalty. Tyler Brackett's punt kicked toward the sideline to prevent Simon from running this one back, and the Panthers will take over at their own 43, leading by 32, and still 6:28 to go in the third quarter.
Well, we were told that the Panthers had some real talent at the skill positions, and we have seen all of that and more tonight. We've made them look great.
John Simon has run 172 yards for a touchdown, plus had a shorter touchdown run earlier in the game. He's returned one. He's returned a punt 63 yards for a touchdown. He had a 56-yard punt return earlier in the game that took him down to the 3. Gilbert Venegas is 7-for-7 passing for 188 yards. 2 touchdowns, both of those to DJ McDowell, who has 116 yards receiving on the night. Other than that, they really haven't shown us very much here this evening.
Hope they don't break out any big plays on us.
Now
break out a penalty holding against the Panthers. So there they did something wrong. Ball going to get marked back down to the 34.
I want to thank one of our sponsors here on WGIL once again this season. Galesburg Nissan for providing our transportation tonight to East Moline. And this is a positive out of the evening, at least.
Oh, yeah, the Murano is always one of our favorites.
And interesting little offer that they've got going on. As the first handoff goes to Davey Jefferson, then we'll tell you about it. Streaks tried to string him out to the right side. That slowed him to down enough for a gain of a couple. It'll be 2nd and 18.
Well, the certified pre-owned vehicles are fantastic cars, and there's a lot of different variety here. They're selling the retired service loaners on a first-come basis. 8,000 to 12,000 miles also, so like new, huge savings. 100,000-mile Nissan certified warranty. Financing rates as low as 1.9% to Galesburg Nissan just off the square downtown. And these certified pre-owned benefits, there's a whole page of them here with the limited warranty, the towing benefit, car rental reimbursement, and more.
Swing pass goes to the near side, and yet another completion. This went to Clayton Kelly, who caught one earlier in the game. Jake Innes had to make a decision. He was lined up in the cornerback spot to the near side. He had to make a decision. Am I going to go after Johnson or am I going to go after Kelly? He went for the deep man. Kelly was a short man on the drop, and he gets the first down to the 50-yard line after the 14-yard pass play. Venegas over 200 yards passing on the night now. 202 yards, 8-for-8 through the air with a couple of touchdowns.
And if you're wondering if they'll call off the dogs, well, they still got half, 5:38 to go in the third quarter. Usually don't do that till later.
Here's Venegas on the keeper trying to sidestep. He does make a tackle. He does get away from a tackle, and he runs it down to the 30-yard line before he's finally dropped there. Everything they have done tonight has been successful.
Well, and I don't look for them to really slow things down much because, again, they're trying to shed off the frustration of that 21-game conference losing streak.
You bet.
And it's homecoming. We got a huge crowd. And so I would guess they will cross that goal line as times as they can here until maybe at least the middle of the fourth quarter.
Well, and of course, they get it up to that 40-point lead.
Well, that's right.
And then it'll be a continuous clock. Here's Davey Jefferson with a handoff to the right side. He makes positive yardage down to the 26 for a pickup of 5.
They were just a touchdown and a two-point conversion away from that continuous clock, and that really might be the best thing for all concerned here tonight.
And again, the streaks have stopped the two-point conversions after the touchdown only once tonight. As Jim said, there just hasn't been a whole lot positive for the Silver Streaks here this evening to try to build upon. Each of the first three games there have been positives. Even in those two losses, despite a slow start, the Silver Streaks have been able to look at the way they've responded in the second half. And in each of those two games, we talked about it with Tim Doherty in the pregame show, each of those two games, Morton and Peoria Central, there was about a 30-second turnaround in the way the game was going. For the Morton game, it was about halfway through the third quarter. Streaks had taken it downfield, ended up giving up the ball on downs, and then Morton one play, boom, downfield they went, a 72-yard run, and that seemed to be really all they needed from that point on to hold off the Silver Streaks. Last week, Streaks again in the second half were making things happen. Got it down, what, inside the 20-yard line to Peoria Central. Gave the ball up on downs. Boom, about an 80-yard touchdown run. And any chance the Streaks had, you could just feel the wind sucked right out of them after that one. Tonight, I don't know, maybe it was the opening drive.
Say the opening, from the opening kickoff, it's been all Panthers, and they just tacked on another first down. One of the first times they've gone to just three straight running plays for about 4 yards a pop and ground it down inside the 20 now. As Venegas gets the play from the sidelines and comes back out, and the Panthers looking to use a little clock here. I would be a little surprised to see them go to the air unless they're in a third and long, but you never know.
Eighth play of the drive. Hand off to Davis, or rather Jefferson, Davey Jefferson, trying to get to the outside. Good tackle in the backfield to stop him short as he's taken down at the 21-yard line.
Tackled by Jacob Ryden, back in there for the Streaks. 6'1", 250-pounder, and playing on the defensive line. Scrappy kid. That was a heck of a good ankle tackle there.
He's been out for a couple weeks with an injury. Coach Tim Doherty saying in the pregame show that it's a big lift getting him back, and with a nice open field tackle in the backfield there, showed why. Handoff up the middle. Jefferson drags a couple of Silver Streaks along with him. Takes about five guys to get the little guy down at the 12-yard line, and he picks up nine. It'll be third and four.
Well, Jefferson is strong, and that play, he's able to get a good head of steam because they pitch to him, and then that line on the left side blows our line backwards, and so he gets a good running head start. And by the time somebody hits him, they got a tiger by the tail there trying to stop his momentum. And like you said, even though he's not that big, he's strong and pushes his way ahead for a good 9 yards.
This is only the third time tonight that the Panthers have faced third down, and they're 2 for 2. Hand off right side, make it 3 for 3. Jefferson down to the 5-yard line. It'll be first and goal after a gain of 7 more.
Yeah, and again, barring a penalty or a turnover, it's hard to imagine us denying them the end zone because they are just having their way with us up front.
Jefferson only 31 yards rushing on 12 carries tonight. But he's had some big ones when they've needed them. It's been a course on this drive. Ball sitting just outside the Galesburg 5-yard line with under 2 minutes to go in this third quarter. Venegas brings the line set with the Panthers leading 46-14 and trying to crack the 50-point mark. Toss into the backfield. Wide open. Jefferson takes it in.
Third touchdown
of the quarter.
He could have run in three different ways there. He elected to cut inside, but he could have cut outside or gone around the end. He would have scored it either way.
His first touchdown run of the night. It's 52-14 Panthers with a minute 37 to go in the third quarter. An 11-play scoring drive by the Panthers. It covers 66 yards. In 4 minutes and 51 seconds.
Well, now this is interesting. They're going to line up and kick.
May as well practice it, right?
But
it's good.
Point shy of the continuous clock. I guess they're not concerned about that.
53-14, 97 seconds to play, third quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg Nissan has over 100 vehicles in stock with more arriving every day. The hottest new Nissans, certified pre-owns, and great local trade-ins. Kick the tires, take a test drive. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center.
After an accident, you may not know where to turn.
Turn to Bates. We'll navigate you through all the insurance paperwork, set you up with a rental car,
and make your car look like new with a factory-perfect repair. Guaranteed.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
A wit that cuts through the news of the day like none other. The Dennis Miller Show. Weeknights at 6 on Galesburg Radio 14. WGIL.
Galesburg Silver Street trailing the Oneida Township Panthers 53-14 late in the third quarter. An end-over-end kick rolling. Cedric Washington boots it, picks it up at the 27, trying to roll to the outside. gets up to the far sideline in front of the Galesburg Silver Streaks and then finally rolled out of bounds at about the 40. Well, wonder how the Cardinals are doing tonight. If they have any chance of getting back into the wild card chase, they couldn't have a tougher four games over this weekend and then on into Monday.
Now they are going to duck one of the Philly ace pitchers, but you can't duck them all.
No way. You couldn't duck them all in a two-game series.
But, you know, the Brewers have to battle the Reds, so Jay Barshinger's team. He was yelling Bruce when I was down there because Jay Bruce had a two-run homer to beat our Cubs, or my Cubs, last night. Sorry, I didn't mean to lump you in.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
The misery that has cubbed them.
Loss of one on first down for the Silver Streaks. Speaking of the Cardinals, I never did mention who our third quarter touchdown contestant is.
Oh, well, they got a minute left.
For Jay Redfern of Galesburg.
Jay's listening going, oh, now you tell me.
Well, I didn't want to say it earlier when Trevon's 50-yard touchdown run got called back. I figured that would have been painful. So.
Yeah, because he'd have probably been down there redeeming that. He'd have had the sandwich half eaten by the time they called that.
He'd have been there before the Streaks had a chance to go for the extra point. Mixon, it looked like Mixon's leg buckled on that carry, but he's up quickly. No gain, 3rd and 11 upcoming.
Liebers would have been having to take a sandwich back. See him chasing Jay down the street there with half a sandwich.
Hard to focus on much of anything positive tonight for the Silver Streaks other than the sophomores' victory. Anderson rolls out on 3rd and 11. Now here comes the pressure. He's able to stiff arm one man and bumped out of bounds at the 44-yard line. Nice little run by Will Anderson. Picks up 9 on 3rd down, but with 9 seconds to go in the third quarter, Streaks are faced with another decision here. Punt on 4th and 3. Hard to imagine not
really
doing it deep in your, not deep in your own territory, but still 6 yards short of midfield.
Yeah, it really hardly matters, I guess. It looks like we're just going to go for it. I mean, it's not like it's going to make a difference in the outcome of the game.
Nope.
United Township, I'm expecting, will play a large amount of the reserves from here on out.
Their numbers don't look too bad, which has got to be somewhat encouraging for Coach Litchfield as well. Hand off to the right. Trevon's got a first down. Stopped short of the 50-yard line, but it gets to about the 48. Needed to cross the 47. So that's enough for the first down. Trevon's slow to get up.
Got a cramp.
Galesburg 3 for 3 on fourth downs tonight. 1 of 9 on third downs, though. Now he's still flat on his stomach.
And the classic cramp pose.
With 1 second showing in the third quarter.
So, well, and you know, if you're in United Township, you're thrilled to have the win. It's a little awkward for the for Coach Litchfield because, you know, it's a little too early to just take a knee when you get the ball, but yet, and you put 53 up on, and I don't think their goal is to humiliate the Silver Streaks, but yet, you know, you can't tell his kids not to run, and so far, every time they've had the ball, if they haven't had a penalty or a turnover, they've scored, and probably will again if they send that first unit out there. Only 1 second to go here in this third quarter, but it looks like it might be a little bit as they're getting Trevon Diggins' cramp worked out here. Should take a timeout?
Coach or assistant or athletic trainer, Denise Polworth, is down on one knee. She's just talking to him, so she's not working on anything. Asking him, can you get up and walk off, or do we need to help you out? And he's standing up. Helmet's off, but he leans down, picks that up, and he'll walk off, favoring the left leg, now running off. So he'll be able to shake that off, apparently. And I don't know if the Streaks will be able to even run a play, because as soon as they get this set, won't they just start the clock? And there it is.
Yep.
That's the end of the third quarter. And what a third quarter it was for the Panthers. They put up 21 more on the Silver Streaks. Now lead 53-13 at the end of three. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
My wife was kind enough to tell me that I have a little problem sharing.
So I suggested that he start by sharing the one thing he cherishes the most, McDonald's Chicken McNuggets.
It was tough, but I got 20 Chicken McNuggets for just $4.99, and one by one doled out those tender, juicy nuggets. One for them, two for me. One for them, three for me.
See, Larry, doesn't sharing feel good?
Yeah, one for them, four for me. One for them, a few more for
McDonald's
me.
Chicken McNuggets made with white meat. With 20 for just $4.99, it's a simple joy of sharing. Prices and participation may vary.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Now, I mentioned earlier in the game that the Silver Streaks are on the homecoming swing of their schedule. First of four straight homecomings over the next month. Alleman's homecoming next week. The Streaks' own homecoming coming up in 2 weeks. And then Quincy's homecoming in 3 weeks. And let's hope this isn't an indication of things to come the rest of the way. The Panthers are having a ball on homecoming, pounding Galesburg 53-14 as Cedric Washington gets a first down into Panther territory, down to the 33. Nice hole across the right side of the line, cut back to the middle of the field, and he picks up 19. Streaks move the chains. Sophomores won tonight 41-21, but that's where the positives have ended for the Silver Streaks. Not only complete domination by the Panthers tonight, there was one time in the second quarter when it looked like the Streaks were working their, well, the Streaks were working their way back into the game, and it looked like things might continue to head that direction, but Streaks haven't scored since, and it's been all Panthers. 29 consecutive points to get this game back into blowout fashion. Another big hole for Cedric. Bounces off a man at the 25. Down inside the Panthers' 15-yard line to the 13.
Well, good to see the movement, but
yep.
Again, that East Moline defense has maybe a starter or two left out there. They've pretty well put in most of the second string at this point.
Well, Cedric's picked up 39 yards rushing on the last two plays. He had 37 yards rushing for the whole game up until then. 10 carries, 76 yards for Cedric now. That'll up his average quite a bit. Down to the Panther 13-yard line. Under 11 minutes to play in the ball game. Streaks trailing by 39. Handoff up the middle. Not a whole lot there for Mixon. As he'll get across the 10 down to the 9-yard line. Pickup of 3. For the Silver Streaks.
Unusual schedule this year that has us on the road three consecutive weeks. Doesn't happen very often, but just the way it worked out this year.
And five out of the last seven. Two mm-hmm. straight home games, and yeah. then no Van Dyke Field for a month after that second game. In fact, two opening home games, and then homecoming and senior night, and you're done with your home schedule.
Fumble.
Fumble on the snap. Scramble for the ball. Looks like two UT defenders are there. Now the ball squeaks out again after the whistles blow, so that'll make it harder to determine whose it is.
I guess. You're just getting ready to sort the pile out, and the ball squiggles out again, so I guess they just give it to the...
Just keep it on yeah. the, keep it with the team. So third and eight coming up for the Silver Streaks. They can get a first down inside the Panther 3-yard line. 9:45 and counting. Galesburg down 53-14. Again, at Rock Island Alleman next week. Those games played at Augustana College now, as they have been for, going on almost 10 years now. They've had that arrangement in place.
When one of the worst beatings we've had in that time was up there on that field by the Alleman Pioneers.
Flag down before the Streaks snap this ball off. That's a false start against Galesburg, so they go from 3rd and 7. Back to 3rd and 12 now.
Was, in fact, that would have been 2 years ago when we played Alleman. They had the team that finished 2nd in the state. And they really put one on us that night. Long, big plays. They were in the 50-point range that night. In fact, it was one of those. It was continuous clock as soon as they started the second half. That's how bad that was.
Yikes. Well, maybe the Illini can make up for some of this tomorrow night. We'll have Cardinal baseball as that game got moved to an evening game. Here's Washington. He got some running room, sprints to the near side, and gets a touchdown. A fourth quarter touchdown makes a winner of Sean Nelson of Galesburg in our Hungry Hobo Touchdown Contest. So despite the pounding, we've been able to give away a couple of $10 gift certificates here this evening. For Cedric Washington, his third rushing touchdown of the season. And it's 53-20 with under 9 minutes to play in the game. So the Streaks were able to not let that false start penalty kill their momentum too much. And they got a third down conversion for only the second time tonight. Washington, amazingly, just on that scoring drive alone, has gotten almost to 100 yards rushing on the night now. Out of the eye, Streaks go for two. Panthers jump on the left side. Streaks get the play away to Cedric. He'll be stopped short of the goal line. And the score will hold 53-20, 8:54 to go in the game. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
I'm talking, but they're not listening. Could you explain to your furry pals that Thorns didn't go out of business? They moved. Thorns Pets and Supplies has reopened on Prairie Street. They needed more space for their huge selection of dog and cat food. They've got everything under the sun. All the cool cats are shopping there, and the dogs give it two paws up. Plus a dog wash. Yes, you can give your dog a bath right at the store. No more messes in your bathroom at home.
Thorns Pets and Supplies, now at 56 North Prairie Street, across from Stone Hayes in Galesburg. Dedicated to improving the bond between you and your pet.
Your home for St. Louis Cardinals baseball. Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Nine plays, 64 yards on the scoring drive for the Silver Streaks. They take 4 minutes, 43 seconds off the clock. Cedric Washington, 14-yard touchdown run. Galesburg now trails 53-20.
Well, the Panthers will send Simon back for an encore. He's returned a punt for a score, a kickoff for a score, and I don't know what else, but he's done it all, and hopefully we just kick it away from him.
I say, surely they won't kick anywhere near him, will they?
Right,
no, they do. They kick deep, and they go over the head, and actually it won't be Simon on the run back this time. As a kick return goes to the near side, Anthony Trice got the crowd excited, but he stopped short of the 30-yard line to the 27. Mentioned earlier in the broadcast, I was talking to former Panthers coach Jim Smith, not only head football coach, but a longtime assistant here for over 30 years, and talking about just some of the changes he's seen here, and talking about when he was head coach back in the mid-90s, and I was thinking to myself, yeah, I remember a Saturday homecoming game when we played the Panthers. It was particularly awful.
Yeah.
He would have been coaching that game, what was it, 63-22 or something like that?
Yeah, I remember the 63 they had. Boy, we just absolutely gave them touchdowns in that game.
And this one has been almost as bad here tonight.
I think we had two or three straight possessions on that Saturday afternoon at Van Dyke Field at about our own 20 or 25 where we just handed them a touchdown. two fumbles at least, maybe an interception, returned untouched for scores. It was pretty awful.
So, if that's what made the difference, I'm sorry I ran into him tonight. Because apparently it just got the evening off on the wrong foot. Trice again with a handoff. Gains another yard. It'll be 3rd and 5 upcoming.
Yep, and they're just all second stringers in there now. Mostly sophomores probably, and just kind of run the ball into the pile. There's no desire to put any more points up for Panthers at this point. So it may not be continuous clock, but it'll be pretty much same as, I think, unless the Streaks decide to put it in the air.
Well, defensive confusion for the Silver Streaks. Cedric Washington has to run all the way from the far side of the field to the near side of the field. He does get there in time to set up defensively. The toss goes to Trice on the option. He gets first down and then hit out of bounds pretty hard at the 42, but there's two flags down in the backfield as this first down will be negated by a holding penalty.
Man, those came down in a hurry.
Yeah, I don't think the officials could get the flags out as quickly enough on that one.
No, sometimes the holding will come as you get into a guy and try and hold him off for a little longer, but he must have, I didn't see it, but whoever held must have just reached out both hands and grabbed somebody right off the start, because those both came down as soon as that play began to unfold.
So it keeps it at 3rd and 16 now. 7:18 and counting in the fourth quarter. If you're just joining us, well, if you're a Panthers fan, you're happy. If you're a Streaks fan, what you've missed if you're just joining us is not very positive. Galesburg trailing 53-20 on the Panthers' homecoming night here tonight. Back at the 22-yard line. Hand off to the near side. Trice again hit in the backfield and then leveled as he got slowed down and then got finished off pretty hard. Hovind made the initial stop. And then Jacob Ryden made the finishing hit. So 4th and 15, and the Panthers, for one of the few times tonight, do not gain a first down.
Yeah, a few of the adults in the crowd have left, but still a good representation. When you look down on the student section, it is packed. Kids are having a lot of fun tonight, as I guess you'd expect.
Kick is away, not a bad one. Washington running to the right, comes up with it, avoids a tackle from the backside, hit, still on his feet across the UT 40 to the Panther 39-yard line with 6:09 to go in the game. So good field position for the Silver Streaks.
And another flag down. See what that one amounts to.
Where's the referee? There he is, coming out of all the black jerseys. Another personal foul penalty, unsportsmanlike conduct, this one against the Panthers.
Well, you called this tonight.
Sixth penalty for 64 yards. That's the sixth 15-yard penalty we've seen tonight. Combined. Not against one team, but against both teams. So this will go from the 38-yard line now down to the Panther 23. Well, it doesn't bode well for next week, does it?
No, going
playing
in there.
Alleman.
That's what I was thinking is Rocky. It's Alleman next week, isn't
yep.
it? Ouch. Not that either one's a cupcake.
No.
Going to Rock, the Rock's house or to Augustana College. It's 6-1, half dozen of the other, I guess.
And off to the right side, Cedric Washington again. Looks like he coughed it up at the 20-yard line, and this one may go for a while as the Panthers return it. And now he is stripped. Taken down from behind, Garrett Tuttle got stripped by Drew Anderson, and the ball rolls out of bounds in Galesburg territory at the 46-yard line.
Yep.
And the referee just pointed Galesburg's direction.
There's no way.
But that can't be right because right. The Panthers had the ball. If it rolls out of bounds, whoever had possession last
what?
Keeps it. Now he's still pointing Galesburg's direction.
That's probably the same guy that screwed up the Diggins touchdown.
Now we got the other line judge saying, no, it's the other direction, which is the right call. Well, now the Streaks are scrambling, trying to get the right personnel on the field.
It was the same guy.
Yep.
Oh, he's just lost.
He's kind of staying as far away from both sidelines as he can right now. Well, that's just kind of the capper, isn't it?
Yep.
Streaks start a drive in United Township territory at the 23. And then they fumble the ball, and the Panthers now take over after the return in Galesburg territory at the 46. And the new quarterback is Pearson. Hands off to the outside, trying to get to the outside. Nice job by Trice to avoid a tackle. Stays on his feet. Now still a scramble for it at the end of the play. And now the official on the far side. We have another fumble?
I think so. I think they're going to say the play was blown dead. Yeah, I figure if you're going to have a confused official on the field, better to have him out there in a 33-point blowout than some close game where he could cost the team a ball game. Yeah, for all I know, he might be making great calls out there. He just doesn't know which way to point.
Right, yeah. And I'm certainly not one to pretend that I know every football rule in the book by any means, but I do know that when the team that has the ball fumbles it out of bounds, it doesn't go the other direction. Hand off up the middle. Streaks are just getting a constant barrage of Trice here now. Gets back to the line of scrimmage. He lost two. He's gained two. Third down from the Galesburg 46. Under 5 minutes to play in the game. Now Panthers having some fun on homecoming, leading the Streaks 53-20.
Well, we will not have, we'll have the Cardinals tomorrow night. They take precedence over the Illini. Illinois, it's interesting, we come into the season and we didn't know hardly any starting times for the Illini with the, you know, the Big Ten Network and different things coming into play now.
Yeah.
They just kind of put 11 o'clock to be determined, and on a week-by-week basis you find out when they're going to play. And boy, that's got to make it a real headache for people trying to attend the games and, you know, make their plans around that, but that's the way of the world anymore.
Yeah, especially when you don't live close.
Yeah.
It's one thing to be there and have to change your plans. It's another thing to
drive from Galesburg to Champaign.
Yeah. If you got a young child you want to take and let them experience their first college football game, think you'll go down there on a nice September Saturday afternoon, and all of a sudden the game gets moved to 7 o'clock tonight, and you're thinking, okay, do I want to drive back to Galesburg at 11 o'clock at night? I don't know. With a 10-year-old boy in your car or something like that, make it a late night. Bad snap on the punt. They do get it away. High, spinning kick, rotating, and then the ball takes a sideways bounce, as that's the direction it was rotating, and the Streaks take over at their own 28 with 3:26 to go in the game.
Mercifully, the one that's running the score clock let a few extra seconds tick off after it went out of bounds.
He wants to get home in time to see, well, not the news. He's not going to make that.
No, he'd like, well, I'm sure he wants to go see the highlight zone because it'll be all East Moline tonight.
So Galesburg at Alleman next week. Home finally in 2 weeks for their own homecoming. But the opponent is Rock Island, and that's no treat. Streaks keep Anderson in at quarterback, Anderson in at quarterback. Handoff goes to the left side. Mixon stays in the game. Looking around at the numbers, I see still pretty much all starters on the field for the Silver Streaks. Mixon gains 4. Already made a winner of Sean Nelson in the Hungry Hobo touchdown contest. Mixon, 63 yards rushing tonight. Diggins, 55 on the ground. Cedric Washington has 90 yards.
Diggins has not returned since he left with the cramp.
No, he hasn't.
So that's one starter that is not out there.
And he was not out there defensively either. Quick drop by Anderson, throws it across the right side. That one is caught on the far side of the field. Is that Armstrong who hauled it in? It was. And he's down to the UT 40-yard line. Only the second completion of the night for Anderson. Gain of 27 down to the UT 41.
Wind the clock after they move the chains. Probably the final possession for the Silver Streaks with 2.5 minutes and counting.
Anderson in the shotgun now. On first and 10. Fake handoff to the right side,
that
and Anderson hangs on to it, and he goes down for a big loss.
Looked like some confusion in the backfield.
Hunter Harmon was all over that play, and he was all over Anderson as he started the handoff, then tried to hang on to it, and he's lucky that he was able to hang on to it because Harmon was right there on top of him in a flash.
Yeah, well, and what's particularly frustrating about this is that we've got our first-string offense in against almost an entirely second-string defense for United Township. They should not be able to get through like that against our first-string unit.
Matter of concentration and playing hard all the time. These Panthers' second-string players are going to be playing hard just because of the few opportunities they've gotten in an 0-3 start. And again, a few extra seconds tick off after an incomplete pass. Down to 1:29 to play in the game. Third and 14 for the Silver Streaks. Upcoming, trailing the United Township Panthers 53-20. Ball spotted at the UT 45-yard line. Galesburg would like to get one more touchdown. Trailing by 33. Single setback formation. Quick drop by Anderson, swing pass to the near side, caught by Armstrong, tries to break the tackle, inside the 40-yard line, but Trice takes him down at the 39.
Trice is having a big fourth quarter on both sides of the ball.
Yes, he is, and it's fourth and eight.
Running back, defensive back, he's getting some yards. He made a good solo tackle there. If he doesn't wrap up on Armstrong, there wasn't anybody else in the neighborhood. Armstrong might have taken that all the way, but just a beautiful open field tackle that time by another one of the Smurfs, if we want to call him that, 5'7", Anthony Trice.
So the Streaks will go for it on fourth and about eight at the Panther 39-yard line. 45 seconds to go in the game. Anderson with a drop, good protection, gets the pass away down the middle of the field, and a dive by Colton Woolsey at the 5-yard line falls incomplete. And the Panthers will take over and can just take a knee now and run out the final 38 seconds, and the crowd comes to life. Led on by the Panthers players on the sideline, throwing their hands up into the air. They are fired up as they realize now that they can start the celebration officially.
Well, they haven't been able to do this in a conference game since 06, also against Galesburg, but that was down at our place. This one at home, at homecoming, particularly sweet for the Panthers.
Similar starts in those games, too. Panthers got off to a quick start in that one. Made all the difference there.
Yeah.
You look at a 53-20 score, it's made all the difference here in a different way, because that year the Galesburg Silver Streaks held off, or the Panthers held off the Silver Streaks. Here the quick start tonight just seemed to completely rattle the Silver Streaks and totally take them out of the game right from the start. So the celebration begins here at the Soul Bowl. 53-20 will be the final score. The Panthers win for the first time, snapping a 21 conference losing streak, and for the first time this season as well. They did win a non-conference game last year. Now, this is their first win this year. They'll be 1-3. The Silver Streaks will be 1-3. Galesburg sophomores did win tonight 41-21. 53-20, the final score. Postgame show coming up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
If you lived closer, you'd bike the trails at Lake Story every day.
You finish up with classes long after the buses stop running for the day, and you still need a way to get home.
You don't live or work on a designated bus route.
Ever thought about using your bike and the bus?
Galesburg Transit has a brand new bus on the red route, complete with a bike rack, so you can take the bus one way, then take your bike the other.
I'm Craig McCluskey. Use Galesburg Transit. Catch us now.
With the best value in haircuts for 30 years, Great Clips is excited to open their first salon in Galesburg. And during their grand opening, all haircuts are just $4.99.
Yes, you're at Great Clips!
Get a Great Clips haircut for just $4.99 at their brand new Galesburg Salon by Super Walmart at the Seminary Square Shopping Center. Open 7 days a week, no appointments. Just walk right in and sit right down. Relax, you're at Great Clips.
It happens.
And it can be anything unexpected.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center. When it happens, it's our hope at Bates that we can make it as easy on you as possible.
Remember, Bates is here to make it better.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Galesburg Nissan has over 100 vehicles in stock with more arriving every day. The hottest new Nissans, certified pre-owns, and great local trade-ins. Kick the tires, take a test drive. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square downtown.
Silver Streaks football on WGIL has been brought to you by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. This is healthcare. Dave's Auto Body. You better call Dave's. Crady Insurance Agency. Your local Pekin Insurance Agency in Galesburg. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Galesburg Nissan, just off the square in downtown. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Thorne's Pets and Supplies. Building a bond between you and your pet. By Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. And by Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks football on WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast, cloudy tonight, overnight low of 48. Tomorrow, clouds and a high of 68. Then chance of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow night on through Sunday. Overnight low tomorrow night at 55. Sunday, a high of 72. Still a chance for rain Sunday nights, overnight low of 61. Outlook for Monday, partly sunny and a high of 75. and a bit warmer for Tuesday with partly sunny skies and a high of 78. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it's 53 at WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS postgame show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
At the Soul Bowl, happy homecoming for the Oneida Township Panthers. Their first win of the season, their first win in the Western Big Six Conference in 22 games down in the Galesburg Silver Streaks in dominant fashion tonight. 53-20, the final. Galesburg sophomores a winner, 41-21. That's about the only positive that the Silver Streaks can take out of this one tonight. Galesburg did put up some offensive numbers in the second half, specifically late in the third quarter on into the fourth quarter, that makes some of the numbers look better than in all reality that they really were. But we'll go over all of those here in a moment. Jim Lee is down on the field. He'll get a word with head coach Tim Doherty in just a moment. It was a very brief huddle for the Silver Streaks. The players gathered in around Coach Doherty. They all took a knee, put their heads down for a moment, had a kind of a reflective discussion down there. Might have even been a prayer. Couldn't see Coach Doherty in the huddle, so wasn't sure if he was how he was leading that or not. But then they broke that. Coach Doherty stood up, said a few words to the players, clapped his hands. They all went in for a high five and then headed to the locker room. So the mentality here is we got our tails handed to us. Go ahead and get cleaned up. Let's get on the bus. Let's go home. So they are done, and Jim Lee is down kind of working his way through the media discussion around the head coach at the end of the game, and then as soon as he is working his way in there, then we'll find out what the coach has to say about it. He's smiling, so that's a good sign. Not to say at all that he's happy about this 53-20 loss, but certainly it's understandable with coaches in this situation if they don't have much to say about the game and don't want to talk very much about it. But all things considered, he seems to be willing to talk anyway. So we'll find out some thoughts from the head coach here in just a moment. Again, Galesburg will travel to Alleman next Friday night. It'll be homecoming for the Pioneers at Augustana College. As we mentioned, the first of four straight homecomings for the Silver Streaks. Galesburg will have their own homecoming in a couple of weeks. Only one of two remaining home games for Galesburg, and that one will be against Rock Island. 53-20, the final tonight. It was all Panthers right from the get-go, scoring three times in the first quarter and scoring two-point conversions on all three of those first touchdowns. It's 24-0. Galesburg scored a couple of touchdowns in the second quarter to get back into it, down 24-14. Then the Panthers tacked on a touchdown late in the first half to make it 32-14 at halftime, and then they just absolutely rolled over Galesburg in the third quarter, scoring three touchdowns and putting the game away, outscoring Galesburg 21-0 in the third, and got it up to 53-14. And pretty clear early on in that third quarter, they scored on their second offensive play. Galesburg had hopes of coming out with a big defensive stop early in the third quarter and getting the ball right back down by 18 and trying to put a quick touchdown on the board themselves, get within 18 or get within 12, 11, or 10, potentially. That was the philosophy, but when the Panthers came out, scored on their first possession of the third quarter and did so quickly, they got a holding penalty. Then there was an 11-yard pass play and a 72-yard touchdown run, and if there was any chance of coming back, it was over after that. Here's Jim with head coach Tim Doherty.
Okay, thanks, Brad. Down on the field with Coach Tim Doherty. And, Coach, obviously, this is as you get deeper into the program in a few years, this isn't a scenario that you probably envision being in, but the way this one went tonight, I tell you, you ran into a buzzsaw. East Moline, a big house here, their homecoming. The kids were fired up, and once they got things rolling early on, it just seemed like it just kind of snowballed on you tonight.
Exactly. I mean, I can't comment because you hit the nail on the head. Well, I'm disappointed. Again, I don't want to take any credit away from East Moline because their kids came ready to play. And I think they're a much better team than their record indicates. They had three scores called back last week. They should have beat Notre Dame. And they had two against LP. So they probably should be 2-1. And they played tonight like they're 2-1. So, yeah.
Well, and you try and take positives, and I think even the last couple of weeks against those teams, we probably had some of those. But tonight, special teams, the Simon kid really hurt us in kickoffs and punt returns. Defense, the Venegas kid was terrific at quarterback, the run-throw option. They went deep a couple of times. Their running game, their offensive line really blew us off the ball a lot. It was just one of those nights, I suppose it's kind of a blur, and maybe you just try and forget it and go forward to next week.
They just outplayed us. Again, hats off. The brand-new quarterback kid comes in. He was their flanker. He's making plays all over the field, so I wish I had a guy like that. So, you know, credit them. And, okay. So, you know, credit goes to them. And, you know, it obviously wasn't our best game.
Yeah. Well, and not that you can pick any particular point of this game. We were kind of confused. We were wondering down on the field on the Diggins touchdown that got called back. And what transpired there? I know you weren't very happy about that.
I thought the officiating was not very good. They had signaled a touchdown, and I still don't know what happened. And after that, they still didn't have the down right. And, you know, it had no outcome on the game, but they were bad.
Yeah. All right. Well, again, probably not a whole lot left to say after this one. Just we'll see you next week, and things don't get any easier taking on the top-rated team in the state next week over at their place.
You bet. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, all right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Coach Tim Doherty, back up to you, Brad.
All right, Jim, thanks very much. We'll take a break here on the post-game show. When we come back, we'll take a look at the final stats. We also have our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game to bring you. 53-20, Silver Streaks fall to United Township tonight. Both teams 1-3 on the season. Back with more from the Soul Bowl coming up on WGIL and WGIL.com.
He was a corn farmer in America's heartland, always waiting for his bumper crop to come in. But for David Howell, the answer was just a whisper away.
If you plant it, they won't come.
Who said that? Plant what?
AgriSure Viptera.
In a town full of skeptics.
You're crazy planting all that corn over top of a perfectly good softball field.
One man's leap of faith.
What about earworms? Black cutworms? Have you thought of that?
He said they wouldn't come.
Who? The voice?
Would become the stuff of legend.
Above ground, below ground, I'm telling you, I haven't seen a single pest out there all season.
Syngenta Films presents an AgriSure Viptera production.
14.3 more bushels per acre?
Under significant corn earworm pressure.
Experience the mystery, the magic, and the power to control more corn insects than any other trait stack with AgriSure Viptera 3111 from Syngenta. Contact your Golden Harvest dealer and tell them you're ready to take control.
St. Louis Cardinals baseball returns to WGIL tomorrow night when the Cardinals take on the Beast of the East, the Philadelphia Phillies. Our broadcast begins at 5:30 Saturday here on WGIL.
Hillsburg Silver Streaks fall tonight by a final of 53-20. Let's run through the drive chart for you, kind of tell you how it all happened. We mentioned earlier it happened very quickly at the start of the game. Galesburg had the ball at its own 40-yard line. John Mixon had a 3-yard gain. Cedric Washington had ran for no gain. And then John Mixon got the carry from his own 43-yard line, fumbled the ball. Manny Valdez picked it up and advanced it all the way down to the United Township 40. At least that's what it appeared to have happened. The officials ruled a fumble on a play. At the end of the play, we didn't even see the ball come out. We didn't see really the streaks react at all like the ball had been fumbled. But that's what ended up happening. So the Panthers took over at their own 37-yard line only a minute and a half into the game. And the very first play from scrimmage for the Panthers, the quarterback Gilbert Venegas found DJ McDowell wide open down the middle of the field for a 63-yard touchdown. Davey Jefferson ran it in from 2 yards out for the conversion. It was 8-0. Silver Streaks did not score on their next possession. And then in complete contrast to the first scoring play for the Panthers, they then put together a long scoring drive of 11 plays that covered 79 yards. And Simon finished it off at the end. John Simon, the senior running back, just 5'6", with a 3-yard touchdown, and then ran in the 2-point conversion. It was 16-0. Silver Streaks had to punt on their next possession. Simon returned the punt 56 yards down to the 3. The quarterback Venegas, the first play from scrimmage, ran it in from 3 yards out. After the Davey Jefferson conversion, it was 24-0 United Township, and we were finally to the end of the first quarter. Silver Streaks came back for the final 5 seconds of the first quarter, and another 2 minutes and 46 seconds into the second quarter, Trevon Diggins ran it 39 yards for his first touchdown of the night. The run failed. It was 24-6. Panthers fumbled on their next possession after the kickoff. Silver Streaks took over from their own 37-yard line. Six plays and 37 yards later, Mixon finished off the 10-yard touchdown run. The Anderson run for two made it 24-14. And you're starting to think, okay, we got a game here going on. Panthers were forced into a punt from the Galesburg 40, pinned Galesburg down at its own 4-yard line. They had to punt it away. Panthers took over with a minute 48 to go in the first half from their own 47-yard line. Venegas found McDowell again for 15 yards, and then a 38-yard pass play. Jefferson ran in the conversion, and it was 32-14 at halftime. Starting off the second half, Panthers had the ball. They got called for a holding penalty. They were backed up to their own 17-yard line. An 11-yard pass play set them up at the 28-yard line, and then it was Simon this time running it in from 72 yards out. Two plays into the second half, the Panthers built a 40-14 lead. So complete turnaround from 24-14 and forcing a Panthers punt, thinking that the Silver Streaks might be starting to put it together. But by early on in the third quarter, it was obvious that the comeback was not going to happen. After the 40-14 lead, Streaks were forced into a punt. Simon returned that punt for a long touchdown run. It was 48-14. And Jefferson ended up finishing it off with a 6-yard run later on in the third quarter. A minute 37 to the third quarter. By then it was 53-14. Streaks did get a touchdown late from Cedric Washington, but didn't matter. 53-20, the Panthers win it tonight. Both UT and Galesburg now 1-3 on the season, but the Panthers are in a three-way tie for first place at 1-0 in the Western Big Six Conference. Let's take a break here on the post-game show. Final statistics and our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game still to come on WGIL and WGIL.com.
A lot of daily repetitive motion can lead to loss of range of motion, causing you pain. Sarah Haynes, physical therapist for OSF St. Mary Medical Center, specializes in exercise to help relieve back pain.
The McKenzie Method is a self-treatment program. So the patient is given exercises and postural correction and basically taught how to treat their own problem. And usually if they follow through with a maintenance program that can take just 2 or 3 minutes a day, they can significantly reduce their pain.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center. This is healthcare.
Life is full of changes and challenges. The right life insurance coverage can help you plan ahead for whatever may happen, both expected and unexpected. I'm Mike Craddy, your local Pekin insurance agent in Galesburg. I can show you a wide range of life insurance products for whatever stage of life you're in. Universal life, term life, preferred whole life, single pay child life, annuities, and more. We'll go beyond the expected for you and your loved ones.
Call Craddy Insurance, your Pekin insurance agent today about life insurance.
Sir, stay with us, sir.
Doctor, is he going to be okay?
What happened to put him in this condition?
He went out to get the mail, opened the power bill, and then collapsed.
I've seen a lot of this lately. High power billitis.
When you suffer from high power bills, there's only one person who can save you. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Power bills that make you sick are indicative of a serious but curable condition. Call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating today because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. By Dickerson's Photography. Visit them online at dickersonphotography.com. And by Office Specialists Incorporated, where your office is their business.
News, talk, sports on WGIL.
Final score 53-20. Panthers beat the Silver Streaks tonight. Numbers all in favor of UT, as you might imagine. Almost dead even in terms of rushing and passing yards tonight. Panthers had 27 carries for 196 yards and 4 touchdowns. And 8-for-8 passing for 202 yards through the air and a couple more touchdowns. We'll start off individually. Gilbert Venegas, the quarterback, had a touchdown run and 7 carries for 68 yards. The leading rusher tonight, John Simon, 4 carries for 85 yards and 2 touchdowns. He had a 72-yard touchdown run. Davey Jefferson, 13 carries for 37 yards. He had the final touchdown of the night for the Panthers. And Trice, late in the game, had some carries for 6 yards. Gilbert Venegas passing the ball tonight, 8-for-8, 202 yards and 2 touchdowns. 177 of those yards came in the first half when the Panthers really established themselves. DJ McDowell's 3 catches, 2 touchdowns, and 116 yards. Clayton Kelly, 2 receptions for 41 yards. Tavian Johnson, 2 catches for 27 yards. And Davey Jefferson had an 18-yard catch. For the Silver Streaks tonight, 42 running plays for 218 yards on the ground, led by Cedric Washington, 11 carries for 90 yards and a touchdown. John Mixon had 14 rushes for 63 yards and a touchdown. Trevon Diggins, 14 carries for 55 yards and a touchdown. Will Anderson had 3 carries for 10 yards tonight. Anderson passing, not as successful, 3 for 8 for 43 yards. 2 catches for Derek Armstrong for 34 yards. 1 reception for Jake Innes for 9 yards. Take a break. Our final timeout here on the post-game show. Our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game is up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do. Who do you call? Who can you trust to make your car look like new? Where there's only one name you need to know, there's only one place to go.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
When money is tight, some people have to put off those little things in order to get by, like a haircut, for example. But imagine what free haircuts for her kids could mean to a single mom trying to make ends meet. Tomorrow, starting at 10, a few local hairstylists are donating 3 hours of their weekend to give free haircuts to families who could use a little help. ShareFest, tomorrow, 10 to 1, at First Assembly of God Church in Abingdon, where everything is free. Learn more at abingdonfirstassembly.com.
Play-by-play coverage of GHS football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Buffalo Wild Wings. Stop in after the varsity football game for 45-cent traditional wings every Friday. By Go Outside and Play, running and walking at your pace on Seminary Street in Galesburg. And by Bob's Automotive Service at the corner of East Main and Chambers in Galesburg.
Join me every weekday evening at 9 for the Jim Bohannon Show, right here on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Final order of business here from the Soul Bowl in East Moline, our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. And you might think in a 53-20 route, no candidates. And
well, if there wasn't for one guy, I probably would concur.
Yeah, and that's just what I was going to say. You're right that there aren't many choices, but one does stand out tonight.
Yeah, I think, we were down 24-0 before we hardly knew what hit us, and then Trevon Diggins able to break off a touchdown run, got us a little life, and, then we got within 24-14, and at least at that point we felt like there was still a bit of a chance in that third quarter. He takes it all the way to the house, and that whole debacle of does he get it or not because of a penalty.
50-yard, a spectacular 50-yard touchdown run.
And it's too bad because the whole thing with the officials and bringing it back and all really negated what was a great run. He broke several tackles, just a determined effort for the touchdown. And so it wasn't on Trevon's shoulders that we lost this game tonight. It was a lot of other places on the field, but I don't think you can put it on him. So we've got to go with Trevon Diggins as the only candidate tonight for a crunch time player of the game.
So we'll hope for better things tomorrow, next week. But if this one was tough tonight, next week's not.
Yeah.
I don't know how you define that one next week with the Alleman Pioneers on their home field for their own homecoming. But, that's why they play the game, right?
Sure. Well, and Alleman actually, oddly enough, may not be as dangerous to us in terms of 53 points as this outfit was, because they had such explosive players,
yes,
returning kicks and throwing long touchdown passes. And, they just had some individual players that were above anything we could handle. Alleman gives you more of that team concept. At least they won't be scoring on 1- and 2-play drives or kick returns quite as much. They're going to grind it down on you a little bit. So I like our chances of at least staying in that game a little bit better next week. But it's going to be awful tough because they're very, very good.
Our thanks to Nicole Olin at the Downtown Studios, our broadcast engineer for Silver Streaks Football. Thanks to you for being with us as well, even despite a 53-20 loss to the United Township Panthers. Sophomores win tonight 41-21. For Nicole Olin, for Jim Lee, I'm Brad Binowitz. Good night from the Soul Bowl.
Thanks for listening to Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL. has been a WGIL sports presentation.
So now I hear I can't move my own firewood.
The fact is, the emerald ash borer beetle is killing Illinois' trees. It lives in firewood.
It's my firewood. I'll take it where I want.
Actually, moving firewood moves the beetle that's killed millions of trees.
I love this forest. The last thing I want to do is kill it.
If you love our trees, you'll promise to not move firewood. Burn it where you buy it and tell everyone you know to do the same. Learn more at stopthebeetle.info, a message from the USDA.
The official WGIL forecast for tonight, cloudy skies with an overnight low of 48. Tomorrow, look for cloudy skies and a high reaching around 68. And tomorrow night, cloudy with a chance of showers, an overnight low of 55. It's currently 51 degrees in downtown Galesburg. We now join the Jim Bohannon Show, already in progress on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Manufacturing, we've grew from the 1800s with steel industry, and now we're importing a lot of Chinese steel. A lot of our steel, I don't think that is being bought by these foreign countries, but they want us to buy their steel and their
They can make it cheaper. And the simple fact was that in the 19th century. Well, I'm sorry. First of all, just to make the point, I don't really care whether you buy it or not, Mike. The fact is that American labor costs more, okay, and sometimes substantially more. So, in fact, it is cheaper to make it there, even including the shipping of it over here. And the only reason this didn't happen before now was that it wasn't feasible. We didn't have things like the internet and ocean-going vessels that travel as fast as they do today. It wasn't feasible in the 19th century, or we could have seen a similar thing happening then. The bottom line is the only bottom line for a lot of these people, but I'll defer to Lisa here.
No, I mean, I think you're right. And, you know, as you were saying in the previous segment, I mean, there's no reason for a corporation to do something overseas unless it's cheaper. You know, as we start to see the rest of the world's economies collapse, or if it becomes unstable because of their governments or something, you could see a change. But
that's why their headquarters are here.
Yeah,
they want to farm the work out to these places. Oh, you're not going to see the CEOs leaving because they love their nice, cushy country club memberships and all the rest of that. No, they wouldn't go over there.
No.
Those are bad places. and they want to have it both ways and then import the stuff back into this country. I'm sorry, these people are parasites. And the society has got to start treating them as the parasites they are. And by that, I do not mean the workers. I mean the CEOs. And I mean the boards of directors. And indirectly, therefore, I mean the shareholders.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the problem, is that everybody is just sort of one or two steps away, and because everything is so split up between like a board and the shareholders and the CEOs, and no one can, you know, really wants to take responsibility for anything. And also, people here aren't asking them to take responsibility for anything. And we've sort of accepted that because it's cheaper is, you know, the best.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I agree with Mike. I mean, I don't agree with his assumption that it isn't cheaper, because it is. I'm sorry. But I certainly agree with his notion that shouldn't be the automatic rule here. I'll be honest with you. I would be happy to pay more for a few items that I buy at places like Walmart in exchange for providing work in this country, and that would include, by the way, customers for the people who advertise on my network. It works out to my advantage. It is worth it to me to pay a little bit more for all of these items that we're making overseas. Mm-hmm. But we live in such a short-sighted country that a lot of people won't make that that leap. They'll say, well, no, I want the cheapest I can get. Well, fine. Well, no, then expect your standard of living to drop proportionally because you're putting out of work the people who could be buying what it is that you do.
Well, I think you bring up a good point about being short-sighted because when you look at someone, you know, say my generation, I don't know any, you know, I didn't grow up knowing steel mill workers or automakers or anything like that. That's, you know, my father's generation. So I'm so far removed, I don't necessarily see those jobs missing because I was never around. And I wonder if, you know, there's as more and more people increase, they don't realize that these jobs have been lost.
Well, they should learn, and it should be taught in the schools. That's another failure, but the whole different program. Suffice it to say that as we come up on a break here, to get back to the central theme of the topic here, doesn't this super committee really feel the pressure to do more than just the kind of cosmetic changes that you were talking about? I mean, I looked at the members of this committee. For the most part, you're talking about folks who are seemingly pretty secure electorally. Mm-hmm. These are not members, even the ones who may be up for election, like all the House members in 2012. But they're not, in the main, people are looking over their shoulders saying, oh, my God, I got to suck up to the constituents at home. These seem to be people who are generally safe enough mm-hmm. that they could really do something. Don't they kind of have to do something major?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think they do. And I think one thing that's sort of heartening is seeing, you know, what happened with, say, Ben Nelson in Nebraska, whenever he took, you know, the Cornhusker cape back in exchange for his vote, the people in his state and the governor sort of revolted against him and said, listen, we'd rather not have this nationalized healthcare program than have the goodies that you're bringing back. And I think if voters can continue to be that mature and have resolve in communicating that to their members, you know, maybe these people will have the courage to make the real cuts.
Well, one could certainly hope so. We are, I think, at the core here talking about more than just the current budget. We're really talking about an exercise in whether or not free people can actually govern themselves. That is an actual question here. If we cannot make such an obvious decision here on cuts that will hurt now but will preserve the future for our kids and our grandkids, then who's to say that the enemies of freedom don't have a point? Maybe free people can't govern themselves. More to come. 1-866-50-JIMBO at Westwood One.
WGIL proudly supports the Galesburg community.
This is Michelle Bazzari with WGIL. During September, G&M Distributors Recycling Center will donate 1 cent per pound of recycled aluminum cans to Habitat for Humanity. Recycling hours at G&M are Monday through Friday from 9 to 4 and Saturdays from 9 to noon. More details on our calendar at WGIL.com.
These community announcements are brought to you by the staff and local ownership of WGIL. Involved and invested in Galesburg. Broadcasting from the Galesburg Radio Center downtown.
WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14.
Local news now.
Prosecutors told Judge James Stewart earlier today that there were some scheduling conflicts and that they planned to rest their case by 10 a.m. Monday. Many law enforcement officials from Missouri had testified today, including a Rock Falls police detective who says he delivered evidence to the Metro St. Louis Police Department. Shuley ended up in Missouri the day before being arrested for his alleged involvement in the murder of 65-year-old Galesburg man Ronald Randall. A high school cross-country athlete has died after being hit by a car yesterday while running in a suburban Chicago forest preserve. Authorities say 14-year-old Patrick Mizwicki of New Lenox was struck while training along a horse trail with Lincoln Way East High School in Frankfort. Police say the driver wasn't speeding but received minor traffic citations. And the Illinois Department of Agriculture said today that a tree-killing beetle has spread in southern Illinois. The emerald ash borer was recently found near Salem at an Interstate 57 rest area in Effingham County. I'm Kyle Schatzberger. Top stories at home. Top stories from around the world. This is Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Fox News Radio, I'm Sal Giangrasso. At least 3 people are dead, 54 injured, when a vintage World War II era fighter plane plunged into the grandstands this evening during a popular annual air show in Reno, Nevada.
Different people see different things, but there appeared to be some an air flight a problem with the aircraft that caused it to go out of control. And we all know what the end result was on that.
Reno Air Race President Mike Houghton. President Obama signed an overhaul of the nation's patent system into law.
It's a bill that will put a dent in the huge stack of patent applications waiting for review. It'll help startups and small business owners turn their ideas into products three times faster than they can today.
It's the first significant change in patent law since 1952, and just in General Motors and the United Auto Workers agree on a new contract. Fox News, we report, you decide.
The official WGIL forecast, cloudy tonight, overnight low of 48. Tomorrow, clouds and a high of 68. Then chance of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow night on through Sunday. Overnight low tomorrow night at 55. Sunday, a high of 72. Still a chance for rain Sunday nights, overnight low of 61. Outlook for Monday, partly sunny and a high of 75. And a bit warmer for Tuesday with partly sunny skies and a high of 78. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it's 53 at WGIL.
I'm WGIL News Director Will Stevenson. News, story, ideas, comments, questions, we welcome them all. Email us anytime at news@WGIL.com.
Welcome back to the Jimbo Hannon Show, 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. We're talking with former director of the Conservative Political Action Conference, Lisa DePasquale. She now writes at the blog, thelotusblog.com. You wrote something in the Daily Caller that's rather interesting. I'll just read the first paragraph and let you give us a wrap of what you wrote. It's called America Needs the Bobs. In the movie Office Space, a software company brings in two outsiders, the Bobs, to identify waste and cut unnecessary employees and practices. One employee reveals he has eight bosses and only does enough work to not get hassled by any of them. Another employee screams that he is the only one who can deal with the customers because he has people skills. Yet another employee was unknowingly laid off but still receives a paycheck every week because of a glitch in the system. Welcome to the federal government times a trillion. Please amplify, Lisa.
Well, I don't know if you're familiar with Office Space, but it's a really good movie. And, you know, this is something that you see a lot of times in the corporate world where they bring in outsiders to look at how the company is spending money. Because if you, you know, ask the department heads or the CEOs, no one wants to, you know, cut their own department. And, you know, just like how we've come to expect, Congress, you know, works in the opposite of common sense, in that the people that are on a committee, you know, like a military committee, you know, these are the ones that have bases in their districts. You know, someone that is on a banking committee, most likely they're getting a lot of money from Wall Street. And they're the last ones that are going to, you know, cut any particular program. And, you know, when it comes to the super committee, a lot of left and right websites and newspapers have made the comment that of these 12, you know, they receive, you know, millions from Wall Street and, you know, from other industries. But really, you'd be hard-pressed to find any 12 people in Congress that don't receive money from any of the industries that are going to have to be cut.
But nonetheless, I mean, you have to wonder if these people are total whores or are they total fools? I mean, surely to goodness, some of them must be able to say, gee, you know, I got here because I got some contributions from some folks over here and I've tried to help them out, but we're in a national crisis. And guys who gave me all that money, you're just going to have to take a few hits here. I mean, it is amazing to me that we could possibly be that bereft of leadership. This is a crisis point right now. And the notion that we could even remotely think of continued business as usual is just remarkable. Again, it gets back to the question I closed the half hour with, the essential core question of whether we are, in fact, capable of free governance.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think it's hard because particularly in this sort of economic time, everyone is going to argue that their program, if you cut their program, you're cutting jobs. So they're going to argue that cuts in that particular program this transportation bill. That, you know, if you cut the if they don't pass the transportation bill, then, you know, thousands of jobs are lost. And I mean, that's one way that I think people know that they're going to be able to push something through, because they don't want to sit there and say, you know, we're not passing something because it's going to cut jobs. And what I sort of finished the article with is, you know what, you might know someone that has their job cut. You might know, end up with a program that you're no longer going to be receiving the benefits for, but we need to have the maturity to realize that this has to happen.
Well, it does have to happen, and let's face it, it may be necessary in some cases, and I'm making up the numbers here, obviously, but it may be necessary to cut 1,000 jobs to create the conditions under which 10,000 jobs can be created.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, I'm talking about maybe the jobs of 1,000 regulators so that the private sector can create 10,000 jobs. Again, made up numbers, but you get the concept here. The mere fact that a job is sacrosanct, not necessarily. We're talking about numbers here. We're talking about 9% unemployment, 9+% unemployment. And yes, I suspect there's going to be some dislocations, but the point is that we should come out with the best possible outcome, not just based on who's contributed the most money to key members of Congress, but on how we create the most jobs for the most Americans.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just doesn't seem to me that that's rocket science.
You know, well, like I said, the things that seem so common sense aren't that common in D.C.
No, they certainly are. And goodness knows, I've been inside the Beltway probably longer than you've been alive, Lisa. And it is a bizarre place. 1-866-50-JIMBO is the number, 1-866-505-4626 on the Bohannon Show. Are there any bobs on this committee? Are there any members that strike you as being people who might jump out away from the conventional ignorance that we've been talking about and simply say, I hate it, I desperately hate it, but we're going to have to do this, this, and this? You see any such statesmen on this committee?
Well, you know, it's funny that you ask, because when I was the director of CPAC for several years, I mean, one of the things that we would do is, you know, you bring in the sort of conservative stalwarts, you know, to speak. And there are a lot of people, you know, over the years, especially in the Senate, that, you know, you would never come to CPAC. And so when I was looking at the committee names, I mean, none of them really jumped out at me as the sort of, you know, conservative stalwarts that we see. You know, these are not the people that, you know, for the most part are, you know, talking about conservative principles. And they're sort of I don't want to say workhorses, but the people that, you know, for lack of a better term, get off on being on the congressional committee.
Well, there are such people. There's no doubt about that. I mean, there are people who gloat at the fact that all they have to do is lift an eyebrow and the price of orange marmalade will go up a dime a jar. I mean, there are such people out there. You're right.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm just hoping that, because of the mood in the country and the Tea Party movement and people becoming more vocal about what they want to see happen in government, that it'll force, you know, not just these 12, but all congressmen and senators to realize that, you know, the party's over.
Well, I would hope so. Although, again, I often hear people speak of the mood in the country. Well, there isn't a mood in the country. There is certainly a growing mood, which is the one that you've described, but there are still an awful lot of people out there for whom the mood is, I want mine. And I don't really care about anybody else, or the country, or my kids, or my grandkids. I want mine. I want it now. I want 5 bridges to nowhere, and I will continue to vote like the un-American person I am for anybody who brings home the bacon, even if we can't afford the bacon. I mean, that mood is out there also.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'll grant you that the ascendant mood, and thank goodness, is the Tea Party mood that you describe. But there are still a lot of people out there who are just dearly, dearly wedded to business as usual. They cannot imagine anything other than business as usual. Biting the bullet, making sacrifices, being part of a greatest generation, oh, it scares the daylights out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't overlook that mood. I mean,
yeah,
it's also...
Right. And another mood that I am seeing a lot of, and it's been around forever, a lot of them are the independents, are the people that look at, you know, Obama's job plan, and they're sort of, they think they're being fair-minded. They say, well, at least he's doing something, you know, and these are the types of people that are going to, you know, vote for Obama again, because they have this notion of fair-mindedness, and that, you know, every president should get a chance. You know,
well, he's had 4 years. That's the chance we give presidents. I mean, that ought to be enough.
Well, it's funny because just yesterday someone told me that, you know, he thought, well, George W. Bush got two terms, so why shouldn't we give Obama two terms? You know, this kind of mindset I don't get, regardless if I was a Republican or a Democrat. But
well, there are a lot of people out there who don't pay much attention. These are the same people who, despite Obama's voting record prior to running for the presidency, anybody who paid any attention at all, who had read like a newspaper, knew perfectly well what Obama meant by hope and change. But these are the same people who call into the shows like this and say, well, gee, when I voted for him, I didn't know this was the kind of hope and change he had in mind. Well, where were you, you doofus? Mm-hmm. He's always been a big government type. I mean, what did you think he was going to be, the second coming of Herbert Hoover? I mean, come on. Although in some ways, I guess he almost has been the second coming of Herbert Hoover, hasn't he? More to come, 1-866-50-JIMBO, with our guest Lisa DePasquale. She is at the website thelotusblog.com. Back after these messages.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
Heather from Bakersfield writes, how do you feel about rain? Well, Heather, if you're talking about the downpour of savings people are getting on their motorcycle insurance with Geico, then I love it.
It's quite literally a money monsoon.
Ooh, a late afternoon cash shower.
And those riders who complete a motorcycle safety course will have an even higher chance of savings cloudbursts.
Now, the only kind of rain I don't like is the wet kind. Humidity makes my hair frizz.
Call Geico today for a free rate quote. Geico, saving people money on more than just car insurance.
T-Twisted! Twisted Tea Tribute, 28. Dude, that is tasty. There you have it, Twisted Tea, the refreshing hard iced tea that tastes like real iced tea. Twisted Tea Tribute, number 9.
I take Twisted Tea to every party. Bottles for the barbecue and cans for the beach.
Twisted Tea, the refreshing hard iced tea that tastes like real iced tea. Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Twist responsibly.
At Advance Auto Parts, we know there's nothing more annoying than a dead battery. It's time to go, and your car won't. That's why Advance offers free battery testing. Need a new battery? Advance will professionally install it for you, fast and most of all, free with purchase. Don't get stuck with a car that won't turn over. Turn in to Advance for our free battery testing services. It's a great start to making sure your battery keeps starting. Free battery testing and free installation. Advance Auto Parts. Service is our best part. Free